Welcome back to the Southwest Virginia Sports Podcast. As always, my name is Ryan Dye. My co-host is Brady Hess. How are you on this very cold and icy Thursday?
It's icy, man. It's cold outside. It's frightful. Thanksgiving next week. Getting excited about that. Next time I'll be talking to you, I'll be a lot happier. I know Hank's just chilling right here. We're just chilling, getting ready for the big test on Saturday, and looking forward to putting that in the rear view.
Yeah, it was a bad one. Maybe this week's version will be a little bit better for you.
Hey, that's right. Hopefully Saturday I go in and take the test. Hopefully Hokies pull it out against Miami. A rough weekend up in Pitt last week, but nonetheless, it's all right. But anytime there's football on the television or on the radio or right in front of you in your own two eyes, you're going to be all right.
That's it. As Kendrick Lamar once said, it's going to be all right. All right, so let's get into last week, the first week of the playoffs in West Virginia and in Virginia. We'll start in West Virginia with an absolute rout. Bluefield 56, Oak Hill 7. I say, and you might see that score and go, that's a rout, but is that an absolute rout? Well, they started playing 8-minute quarters in the second quarter and started running clock in the second quarter as well. So that should tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah, it's pretty tough for the Beavers. I mean, man alive, those guys rolled up 300 yards of total offense against Oak Hill this past weekend. Held Oak Hill to 75 yards on offense. Bluefield's just going to keep rolling, man alive. They scored less than a minute into the game. J.J. Davis took off on a 58-yard run, and he was the leading rusher on the night with 94 yards, Ryan, on just three carries. But he had some help there. Arnold Martin, 54 yards and a pair of touchdowns on four carries. Jameer Juice Edwards, 39 yards and a touchdown. Chandler Cooper threw a touchdown. He also ran in for a touchdown. The Beavers are unstoppable and looking to keep that going this week against Kaiser.
Yeah, there's really only one team in that state that's capable of beating them, and they're not going to play them for several more weeks, so they're going to keep on rolling. In what looked like an amazing game for quite a while there, Mount View 34, Ritchie County 14, Mount View with its first playoff win in a long time.
Yeah, since about 2003 there, Ryan, and it didn't come easy for those guys, man. 21 points in the final 4 minutes on Friday for Mount View as they collected that 34-14 win there in Princeton over Ritchie County. Elijah Barner scored the three late touchdowns for the Golden Knights. He and Tavon Powell eclipsed the 1,000-yard rushing mark for the season on back-to-back runs there in the third quarter. So pretty cool for those two seniors to get that, I'm sure, after growing up with each other and whatnot. But Mount View needs to step it up a little bit if they're going to get the round two victory this week. It's very rare that you can score 21 points in the last 4 minutes of a football game, especially in playoff time. So they get that win, get the monkey off their back, but nonetheless, they got to strap it on a little bit tighter this week in the second round.
We'll switch over to Virginia now. Let's start with the lower classifications. Galax 55, Eastmont 8. Galax played with two quarterbacks, and they both had pretty good games.
Yeah, they sure did. Pickett, 5 of 11 for 142 yards and 4 touchdowns. Gage Cook, pretty much the same way. 6 of 7, 166 yards and 2 touchdowns. Both of those guys found the end zone on their legs as well. Galax is rolling, man, and it's like we talked with head coach Brandon Harner earlier this week, Ryan. Galax usually a run-first team, but man alive, they are now a run-first team. They've always been a run-first team, but now they have some quarterbacks down there to throw the ball around, and that's been pretty cool.
George Wythe, 28. They shut out Covington. 28-0 there. Ravon Wells had a good night there. 199 yards and 3 scores.
Yeah, man. How about George Wythe? They get a big shutout win over Covington. The first time Covington's been shut out this season. And that's a pretty impressive feat this late into the year. 199 yards for Wells and 3 scores. And George Wythe just keeps on rolling, man. And that was a pretty impressive win over Covington.
Narrows 18, Auburn 7. Narrows keeps on rolling there at home. They got a big one this week.
Yeah, they sure do. They got a big one coming up looking for some revenge. But Wyatt Freeman leads the way with his arm and on the ground there against Auburn in what was a rematch. Look out if you're getting ready to play the Green Wave that is directed toward Perry McClure. Revenge is in the air, and Arrow's looking to bring a butt whipping there in Giles County.
Chilhowee 49, Eastside 0. Chilhowee just way too much for pretty much anybody in this region at this point. Quarterback Zach Kale, 3 rushing touchdowns and a passing touchdown. It's a pretty efficient game.
Yeah, 100 yards passing, 63 yards on the ground. Let's talk about that running game, Ryan. Greg Sanchez, 10 carries, 95 yards with a touchdown. Anthony Blevins with a touchdown. Jonathan Gilley with a touchdown. Sanchez went over the 5,000-yard career rushing mark in the third quarter there, Ryan. Pretty daggone impressive. And that defense of Chilhowee, man, they were flying to the football. Jordan Rasnick from Eastside, we've praised him all season, Ryan. He was only 2 of 12 for 31 yards and threw an interception. Got pummeled to the turf a few times. And that's somebody who threw for over 2,000 yards this year and more than 4,000 in his career. But he's done. Chilhowee only allowed 125 Spartan yards as they cruised to a 49-0 victory on Friday night.
And they will take on Grundy because Grundy put the hurting on Thomas Walker 55-13.
They sure did, and the Golden Wave gets a big monkey off their back as well. They get a postseason win for the first time since 2010 over Tunstall. Gabe Fizer, 110 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also had an interception on defense. Derek Endicott helped the cause, threw for 100 yards on offense, and Sage King gained 98 yards on the ground for the Golden Wave. Jake McCoy, 2 touchdowns, a 31-yard run, 59-yard passing touchdown reception from Endicott. Let's talk about Fizer. We've talked about him all year, Ryan, and we're not going to quit talking about him. He's probably the favorite in a lot of categories in our interest. But nonetheless, 2,432 yards for Fizer and the Golden Wave, and his career mark is now at 4,488.
That's a lot of yards.
Yes, it is a lot of yards. You could get from Hurley to Grundy and back all the way up to Pilgrim's Knob, I believe, with that yardage.
Over on the turf at Emory, Patrick Henry, 47, Holnaker, 7. Man, that rushing attack is just way too much for a team like Holnaker.
Yeah, Brown finishes with 148 yards rushing on just 7 carries, 3 touchdowns. Smith had 115 yards of rushing on his own, 362 yards collectively for Patrick Henry, who collected their 10th win of the season. Only the second time that's happened in school history, Ryan, so an impressive season there for Mark Palmer and the gang. 47-7 dusting over Holnaker, who scored late on a Levi Miller to Levi Glint pass. Trevor Dye keeps on with his impressive season this year. Even though it's come to an end, he finished with 205 yards for the Tigers.
J.I. Burton, 30. Holston, 6. Houston Thacker just kind of does it all. Passing, rushing, an interception. Whatever you need, Thacker gets it done.
Yeah, he absolutely can, and he can even punt the football, Ryan. But nonetheless, he's known for his quarterbacking skills. 10 of 21 through the air, 118 yards and a touchdown. He ran the ball for 11 yards and a touchdown. Got an interception on defense, and he averaged 27.8 yards a punt there. He's pretty daggone good, man. And you look over at his receiving core, Allen, leading receiver, 59 yards and a score. Mikey Culbertson, 136 of the team's 205 rushing yards, which included a 95-yard touchdown run for the Raiders. And, man, let me tell you, me and you have been on the end of a couple of those 90-plus-yard touchdown runs at the college level this year, and those are not fun. So I'm sure that sucked the momentum out of the Holston Cavaliers as Burton rolls to the second round.
Switching over to Class 2 now. This game was played on Thursday. Radford 22, Fort Chiswell 0. Good season by Fort Chiswell, who lost their coach there with about 2 weeks before the season started. P.J. Prelew, though, just way too much.
Yeah, all three of the touchdowns by the Bobcats came at the hands of P.J. Prelew, who ran for 149 yards and 3 touchdowns. Big defensive performance by the Bobcats. This one was a tight-knit game there, Ryan, but Fort Chiswell proved they're worthy of that playoff berth, but Radford shows why they're the favorite in 2C.
Appomattox 35, Giles 6. I'm sure Giles is probably just about tired of going to Appomattox County.
Yeah, I would be too. You know, Appo pretty daggone impressive with Christian Ferguson and Trey Lawling. They were daggone pretty good. They combined for 234 of Appomattox's 315 yards on offense. Ferguson was averaging 9 yards a pop, Ryan. He finished with 132 yards and a touchdown, and that just started the show there in Appomattox. Looks like Williams has the same luck that Robert E. Lee had in Apo. He's not coming away with a victory.
Ridgeview 49, Central 14. From the onset of this game, it was pretty much over when they took the field. Sexton, Adkins, man, this team has maybe the best 1-2 punch in the backfield we got.
Yeah, I think it's pretty impressive, man. Sexton, 158 yards on just 7 carries. Adkins, 143 yards on 11 carries. Both of those guys made their presence known in the end zone. But Ridgeview, 42-0, I believe, or was it 54-0? It was 42-0 at half. But, my God, Wolfpack, dominant. Watch out for those guys.
The game that I was at, that you were not at, Richlands 10, Grayson County 0. Trey Brown got it done on a turnover, and Forrest kicked a field goal, and that's your margin.
Yeah, 10-0 there for Richlands. Offensive struggles continue with the defense. Ronnie Davis, son, coach them up high, and keep coaching them up. It's been a pretty impressive defensive performance this year by the Blues. I know that Ronnie Davis is one of the best in the business. You got some good defensive coaches over there, and Chris Altizer as well. But, man alive, happy for this defense. Had the privilege to go to practice last week on kind of a somber note. But, nonetheless, I looked at Ronnie Davis and I told him I wanted to get after the kids a little bit, that I needed some fire. It was playoff week and everybody was just walking around. And I was talking to Coach Mance, and somebody did something wrong, man. And I heard Ronnie Davis, and he looked over at me and said, "That one was for you." And I was like, "I'm glad." But, nonetheless, the Blues get 198 for Greg Mance. 10-0 victory over Grayson. Nice little win there for the home team.
A week ago, Richlands had 0 penalties. And then I don't know what the official count was for this game. But I feel like the two probably combined for at least 20 penalties. It was bad. No flow to the game at all with so many penalties. Credit to the defense, though. 4 turnovers by the Richlands defense, and also 2 turnovers created by the Richlands special teams. So it's going to be hard to beat anybody when you turn the ball over 6 times, even with the Richlands offense that struggled to find the end zone lately.
Yeah, and you know, you got to be a little bit more disciplined, especially coming up into this week with a matchup with Ridgeview, who is the forerunner and probably the favorite to most. Not my favorite. I think Graham is the favorite, but nonetheless, Ridgeview is the favorite on paper, and you're not going to win a game against them if you play undisciplined football.
Moving on now down to Big Stone Gap. Union gets a 21-0 win over John Battle. 366 yards of rushing offense.
Man, that's just good old-fashioned football, Ryan, and those people in Big Stone Gap love to pound the rock. It don't matter if it's Thomas Jones, Julius Jones, shades of Boo Sensabaugh. I know that's a Burton guy, but nonetheless, down in that side of the state, you're going to run the football. Poirier with 2 touchdowns after sitting out a couple weeks. Aaron Stidham led the way with 120 yards rushing and a touchdown on just 13 carries. Jenkins added 100 yards. Poirier and Bryce Garrett also pretty effective. Garant with 66 yards. Bears with a slobber knocker marquee matchup coming up down there at the park this week.
And their opponent will be Graham, who got a 42-18 win over Virginia High on Saturday at Mitchell Stadium. You mentioned it, that they're your favorite. They're my favorite, too. This team is just, they're firing on all cylinders right now, and that's scary.
Yeah, and when you have Cameron Allen and Devin Lester getting ready in red, there's very good reason to be the favorite. Let me tell you, Cameron Allen is the best I've seen in a while around here, and I think he's going to continue to do that. And you know, this matchup coming up with the Union, there's some bad blood, man. The last few years, Union has bounced Graham, so you know Allen wants to prove, just like James Mitchell did last year, that he's the most dominant athlete on the field when they get out there on Saturday. But hats off to Virginia High and a very underachieving year, I think, on all accounts. You know, Aaron Rose finishes up a historic career down at Virginia High. Great young man, great family, and excited to see what he can do at the next level.
Over in Class 3, Abingdon 20, Hidden Valley 0 on what might be the worst field I have ever seen in my entire life.
Well, it definitely appeared to be that way from stories that folks have told me, but nonetheless, Abingdon got it done. Martin Lucas, 115 yards, 19 carries, touchdown. Hidden Valley just finished with 9 yards rushing, Ryan, and 16 yards passing. That Abingdon defense was thriving in that mud, forcing turnovers. Hidden Valley fumbled 6 times, man, but they only lost it once. The Falcons flying high into what could be a buzzsaw this weekend against Lord Botetourt.
I saw some people say that it's a good thing this game's on the road because they don't think that Abingdon's field will be playable until next year.
That's tough. That really is tough. But if they do knock off Botetourt, is there an opportunity for them to come back? I don't know. I would assume it'd be against the 1 or 2 seed at this stage in the game. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's tough at this stage of the game. And as much rain and precipitation that we've had, it's been very detrimental to the playing surfaces around the area.
And our last game over in Class 4, Pulaski County gets the upset at George Washington, 17-14. I called this one, by the way.
Hey, it sounds like the Cade Akers and E.J. Horton show, man. Akers, 9 passes to Horton for 123 yards, both Pulaski touchdowns, and what was a 256 total yard on the offensive side of the ball. The Cougars ran it 39 times for 136 yards, much to the pleasure of Jake Tabor. But Horton and Akers, that's all you need to know, and that's all I've been preaching.
Yeah, their road doesn't get any easier this week.
No, it absolutely doesn't. They got the Blacksburg Bruins. They're in Christiansburg. Speaking of rough playing surfaces, the Blacksburg field seemed unplayable. But nonetheless, it's going to be a big game. Should be a packed crowd at a neutral site right there in the New River Valley between the two powerhouses there in the New River Valley.
So that does it for last week. Pretty good week of playoff action. Man, we're losing teams at a steady clip here. You know, where each week it's going to get the list going to get shorter and shorter on who we got left.
Yeah, absolutely, and we know we will at least have 5 next week. So I'm excited to get back on here next week and talk about it all again, man.
All right, so let's see here. You talked to a couple coaches this week, or maybe at least one coach. Let's talk about Coach Tony Palmer over there at Graham. Man, Tony, what a job he's done after the failed debacle that came before him.
Yeah, let's talk about Tony Palmer. Such a great guy. Have never heard negative comments about Tony Palmer. Really happy he joined us last night for the Coach's Corner. He's turned that program around. You know, when you were in high school, Ryan, and even before that, Graham was a load. They were a Goliath. And when I was in high school, I played against some good Graham teams there the last couple years. But they went on some hard times there under Mike Williams and Doug Mars. And Tony Palmer has brought them back to 2 consecutive 11-2 seasons. Right now they're sitting at 10-1. Got a big contest this weekend against Union, and Tony and those guys are looking to get a big win and prove a lot to some people. And, you know, I like this from being a guy from Tazewell County. He says in this interview that we're going to go down there and show them that our part of the state can play some football, and that gets me fired up just from being around the area. So I'm excited to hear what you guys have to think about the head G-man, Tony Palmer.
Well, that's about as good as the intro as you're ever going to get. So here's Brady's conversation with Graham head coach Tony Palmer.
Guys, it is the second week of the playoffs this week. Perhaps the biggest contest in the coverage area will be in Big Stone Gap as the Graham G-men travel to take on the Union Bears. The G-men are 10-1 and have won 10 consecutive ball games since their opening week loss to Bluefield. The G-men haven't looked back since week one, and they have looked dangerous in the process. Joining us today in the Coach's Corner is the head coach of the G-Men. He is in his 4th year at the helm at Graham. We are happy to be joined by head coach Tony Palmer. Coach, thanks for joining us today.
I appreciate you guys having me.
Coach, you guys are sitting at 10-1 right now. You guys haven't looked back since that opening week loss. What has this year been like for you guys?
Well, I think that, you know, our goal is to consistently get better each week. I think we've done that, you know, at times. You know, we've improved on the defensive side of the ball, and we're getting more opportunities on offense, and I believe that's been the major difference for us.
And you talk about some of those things that have been the major difference. What do you like that your team does well, and where do the G-men need to improve right now to keep advancing through these playoffs?
I think we need to improve some on our special teams. We had a couple of special teams mishap last week. But, you know, it's almost seems like it's from game to game. You know, there's something that you know, it's never going to be perfect for me. That's just, you know, that's just the way it is. It's never going to be perfect. But, you know, if we continue, I think I like the way that we're getting to the football right now. I like the way that the guys are taking pride in doing their job, you know, and I think things are coming together for us because of that.
Cam Allen is the best player on our side of the state. It's not even close. What is it like to have a player of Cam's caliber leading your team onto the field each week?
Well, Cam's a good football player. Cam's he's been good for us for 4 years now. I mean, he came in as a freshman and made some plays for us, and he seemed to get better each year. But, you know, it's Cam is fortunate to be in the situation that he's in. I mean, he's an outstanding football player, and I'll probably agree with you. I think he's probably one of the better players in the coverage area, but he's surrounded by some guys that are pretty good too, and I think that's what makes us click, is because there's other people that can make plays, and, you know, and Cam's a very unselfish kid. Devin Lester, outstanding football player. He's a very unselfish kid. And then we got two running backs. Both of them grow about 220 pounds apiece. And then we got some good receivers on the outside. So, I mean, it's a mixture of those guys is what really works for us. But, yes, Cam is the catalyst.
And, you know, I want to talk about some of those other guys, but I want to ask one more question, particularly about Cam. You've had a lot of great players come through, Graham, just in your short tenure as the head coach. What will it be like for you next season when you see Cam strap it up for the Boilermakers up there at Purdue next year?
That's great. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, the thing is, we're fortunate to coach these young men at this age, and, you know, just watching them try to fulfill their dreams, you know, that means everything to us. I want our kids to accomplish whatever they set their goals out for. I mean, and that is a goal of his. And, you know, anytime one of my guys reach their goal, but, you know, it's very, very, very great. It's very just, I mean, we're jubilant when that happens. We're just ecstatic that happens, and we're proud for the kid, proud for his family. And, you know, and the guys on the team, they're for each other. And, you know, that's the thing with us. We want to have a family-type atmosphere. We want to support each other. We're going to be proud for each other. And, you know, that's, you know, it's just the way that things are down there. So, yes, it'll be great to watch him play college football.
We talked about some of those other pieces of the puzzle there, Graham. You have two thoroughbreds in the backfield there in Reed, and then you have Booker as well. How crucial is it for your offensive attack to feature a backfield like this? I mean, I watched these guys in the Richlands game, and, I mean, they're bouncing off tacklers. They're running over people. They're outrunning people. I mean, these guys can do it all.
Yeah, they're two fire hydrants. Neither one of them are very tall, you know, but they're both about 220 pounds apiece. And that's a lot of force coming in such a compact package, you might say. So, I mean, they bring a punch when they come. And, you know, the thing is, if you start watching Cam, then guys like that can hurt you. I think that we look for those two guys to try to set the tone of the game physical for us on the offensive side of the ball, to finish games, to be punishing, to take a toll on the defense. And then, you know, you throw Devin Lester into that mix, and there's some more speed. And, you know, it's just a mixture of things that I think that's making us click. I think our offensive line has improved from last year to this year. I mean, and that was kind of, I thought was kind of our Achilles heel last year, and they're making strides. So, yeah, they take pride in being able to run the football. They take pride in being physical, and that's where they're beneficial for our team.
And you mentioned Devin Lester a few times before now. He's been solid on the offensive side of the ball. He's shown he can be just as solid as anybody in the area in all three phases of the game. Just what can you say about Lester and all the things he can do?
He's like almost like Cam. He can do it all. He can play quarterback, played running back for us last year. We had two injuries at running back. He came in at running back. I think he scored 15 or 16 touchdowns at running back last year. First time he's played running back. He's a slot receiver for us this year. We move him around a lot. He can play outside, defensive side of the ball. I believe that, in my personal opinion, I think him and Cam Allen are two of the best safeties in the area together. So, I mean, he's just an athlete. He can do it all.
Let's talk about that defense a little bit. Aside from the Bluefield game, the most points the G-men have given up was 19 against Tazewell in week two. How solid is that defensive unit that has guys like Nick Kastner, Cam Allen, and Devin Lester?
We're good in the middle. I mean, and then you got to throw Aaron Edwards into the mix. We had a kid to transfer in from Princeton. So right in the teeth of our defense, you've got Nick Kastner, Aaron Edwards, Cam Allen, and Devin Lester. I mean, so there's four good ones right in the middle, right one right behind the other. And we're doing good up front. Mason Raley came in for us, and he has absolutely been beneficial to us on the defensive side of the ball. Him and Aaron Edwards have been the biggest change to our defense. I mean, we're flying around. We had an opportunity to move some people in spots that we thought they fit, you know, once those two guys came. And ever since then, we've been pretty daggone good on defense. I think even throughout the season, I think we're giving up 13.5 a game. And a lot of those points that came after we was out of the game, and then they would score on our second group. So I haven't really looked, but I'd like to know what our first group is giving up right now.
So we're now into the playoffs. The first round saw you guys defeat the Virginia High Bearcats. Just what are some of the takeaways from that contest?
That was a pretty interesting game for us. I mean, you have to play. I hate playing opponents twice throughout the season. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, there's no shock at that point for them when they play against you. So, I mean, they saw what we had. We saw what they had. And, you know, I was a little nervous there. We made a couple of turnovers early, and it really bothered us. I was like, oh, goodness, we got to step this thing up. And then, boom, Cam makes a play. Then you get a stop. Then Devin makes a play. So, I mean, we've got to cut down on self-inflicting things to make us move forward from this point. So, I mean, we just got to shore things up, and we got to limit our mistakes. And if we do that, I think we should be fine.
And you talk about being fine going into this week. You guys face a familiar playoff opponent. It's a team that Graham has never defeated. They've ended your season two of the 4 years that you've been at the helm there in Graham. I know there's got to be a little bit more motivation this week at practice. Just what have you seen so far on film this week from Union, and what has the message at practice been leading up to Saturday?
Well, they beat us up pretty good last year. And, you know, we've had time to think about that, and our kids have had time to think about that. So, you know, they've done it. Coach Turner does an outstanding job with them. I like Travis. He's a good guy, and he runs a good program. They got passionate fans down there. It's a great place to play football. And we're looking forward to the opportunity to get back down there and play them to try to rectify what was left down there last year. We didn't put a very good product on the field last year when we went down there. We were flat. We made mistakes, and they jumped on us and whipped us up pretty good. And they deserved to move on. We didn't. So, I mean, we've got to go down there with the right frame of mind, and we're going down there expecting to win. We think that after you get past the point, you gotta no longer hope you win. You gotta expect to win. That's what we tell the guys, and that's the mind frame that we're going down there with. Richland's put us out 1 year. Union's put us out 2 years. The first time we played Union, we was right in the game, and Jamaria Cousin, our running back, who had just ripped off a couple runs and seemed to be imposing his will on the game, went down. After that, boom, they beat us. Last year wasn't even close. So we want to go down there and try to put on a good showing for our fans and the community in Bluefield, Virginia, and let everybody know that we can play some football up this way.
Coach, let's talk a little bit about your journey up to being the head coach of the G-men. You were the tailback on the 1989 state title team there at Graham. What were your playing days like there, and what was that 1989 season like in particular?
It was a special season. It's something that, you know, no matter how old you get, you just won't forget it. We was a tight group of guys. We had a bunch of role players on the team, and everybody knew their role, and they took pride in the role that they had, and everything was together. So we tried to take that, from my experience, I tried to take that and implement it in our program to make those guys feel the same way. It's no longer me, it's we. And that's the approach that we're taking now. such a honor to have played for a legend. Played for Coach Glenn Carlisle, and he's shaped and molded many good men that left his program. And that's our ultimate goal, is to try to help young men become good men and be productive citizens in our community.
And you talk about some of those things that you took from playing for Coach Carlock and bringing it into your own program. Just what was it like to play for a legend in Coach Carlock, and what else that he taught you while he was coaching have you taken with you, not only as a football coach, but just in how you live your life?
Well, Coach Carlock always preached character. I mean, character to him was like, he said, do the right things when no one's watching. So that's what, to me, it's what character was. It's what he told us it was. So we want to try to do the right things by people. We want to have pride in our work. And we try to stress that to our guys today. You know, have pride in what you do. Take pride in it. If just give your best effort in everything. And when you do that, sometimes things pan out for you. Sometimes they don't, but that's life. But we try to... you know, to try to get those guys to take pride in whatever they do and just do it together.
You know, after your playing days there at Graham, you played football at North Greenville College in South Carolina. What were those days like for you?
Well, I enjoyed it. But it's not like playing with you guys. I mean, the guys that I played with, the guys that we won the state championship with, I mean, you grew up with them. That's what makes it so special. There's nothing like high school football to me because it's pure. You know, you got to play the hand that's dealt. I mean, a lot of the times, some years you're going to be good, some years you're going to be bad, especially when you're at a smaller school. You're going to have your good years and you're going to have your bad years. But it's how you handle those bad years and recover. And I think that's what establishes great programs in this area.
You know, after those days collegiately, and you talk about coming back here, and you've been on the staff there before being the head coach for a long time. You were on Coach Carlock's staff. You were on Doug Marr's staff, Mike Williams' staff. What were those years like being an assistant coach there in your hometown?
Well, I didn't get to be on the staff for Coach Carlock. He had passed before I joined the staff. Coach Doug Marr's, he gave me the opportunity to coach. I coached 2 years at Graham Middle School. And Coach, he asked me to come up to the high school, coach defensive backs. And once I got there, I knew that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to try to help our football program. I was still passionate about Graham football. At that point, I was working at Bluefield Police Department as a policeman. I went to college, finished college up. So I went in 3 years. I got to earn my degree while working midnight shift. And then I had two youngins that I had to take care of. So it was a grind, but it was well worth it. Mike Williams, when he came in, I had the opportunity to coach for him. And I learned a lot from that experience as well. You know, sometimes when people make mistakes, you learn not to make those mistakes. So it's all been a learning experience, and I'm just very pleased with the way things are going here now.
I want to talk more about that here in a second, but you mentioned working in the police force. And first off, I appreciate the work that you've done there. But what is that profession like day in and day out?
It changes. It changes. No day is the same. You hear people say routine traffic stops. That's nothing's routine in that job. So, I mean, I've enjoyed it while I was doing it. And I learned a lot from that. And, you know, even with that, you know, you try to help mold young kids, because you've seen the road that some kids can get on, the bad road that kids can get on, and that from that aspect. So now I'm in a position to where I can help try to be a preventative measure from letting things like that happen for our young kids.
We already talked about being on the staff under Mars and Williams, but during those years, you saw the program experience some lean years. The program hadn't won a playoff game since 2009 when you took over. What made it the right time for you to take over as the head football coach at Graham High School?
I guess they had to hire me because I tried to get the job the first time and I didn't get it.
So I stayed on as assistant for Mike Williams. But the timing this when they hired me was right. I felt like we could have been competitive then if we'd have been in the right situation. But, you know, things happen for a reason, and I got the job when the good Lord gave me the opportunity to get it.
And you know, we've talked about that tenure of yours. You guys have already won 5 playoff games in the short few years you've been the head coach. You're coming off back-to-back 11-2 years. You're sitting at 10-1 right now. Just what do you attribute this turnaround in the last few years there at Graham to?
Just being passionate. Being passionate about our sport, about our program. The kids feel it. The kids feel it. I think they're a reflection a lot of times of what their coach, the way the coach approaches things. We like I was saying earlier, in those years, you know, I felt like the kids, when we went to play ball games, they was hoping to win. And to me, there's a big difference between hoping to win and expecting to win. But if you're going to expect to win, you're going to have to prepare the kids the right way so they can feel that and expect to win. And I think that that was the biggest difference. Confidence. You got to have, I feel like you have to have confidence that you can get the job done, because if nobody, if you're not going to believe in yourself, nobody's going to believe in you. So, I mean, the guys that we got now, they feel like they've been coached up, and they feel like they can handle anything that gets thrown at them. And a lot of the times, you know, they respond well. So, I mean, I'm just tickled to death with that.
Coach, last one, and I'm going to get you out of here, my man. As somebody who has spent the majority of his life on a sideline in Southwest Virginia, you know how important football is to the culture here. What makes football so special to the people who inhabit our region?
Hey, I think it's one of the best football areas around. I mean, things in this area work around football, and you know, it brings people together from different communities. I mean, for instance, you know, I've got friends in Richlands, I've got friends in Tazewell, I've got friends in Booth, West Virginia, and you know, we all feel passionate about this sport that we all love, and you know, you get the opportunity to face your friends. And it's just something that it's hard to explain. I mean, but you got other sports in this area that do pretty well, but there's nothing like football in this area. There's been some great players that come through this area from all these schools that I've named. And, you know, I think that this area has been overlooked for a long time. Because there's been so much talent around here that I believe has been overlooked. And, you know, that's where my passion really comes in. I want to try to help these guys get noticed. If that's what they want to do, we're going to go to camps. We're going to do whatever we can. We're going to send out film. We're going to try to get this area noticed by these bigger schools if we've got people that's good enough to do that. And if they're not good enough to do that and play Division II, that's great too. The main thing is to try to get these guys out of here, to try to get their school paid for so they can be debt-free when they graduate from college and get an education.
Coach, I always love hearing the answers to that, and that one is one of my favorites, is the one that you just told me. It's been an honor, my man. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. Get down to Bullitt Park and take down the Bears on Saturday, buddy.
Well, we're going to do our best. Coach Turner runs a good program, but we're going to try to go down there into the hostile environment at Bullitt Park and try to represent Bluefield, Virginia the best way we can.
Absolutely, my man. Guys, that is Graham head coach Tony Palmer on the Southwest Virginia Sports Podcast.
All right, now we're back from that interview there. Brady, what did you take away from your conversation there?
Just such a great guy. He's doing it for the right reasons. He wants his kids to go to college. He wants his kids to have a better life. He wants them to get out and be men. And he talked about character and how he learned about that from Glenn Carlock, and just how much Coach Carlock meant to him and how important the Graham community is to him. And the way he talked about how important football is in our area, I got chill bumps, man. He's been successful. I've got nothing but respect for him. He's done a great job, and I look forward to hopefully seeing Graham prove us correctly, Ryan, why they are the favorites this week and when they go down to Union.
Just as a a tidbit of information for people who might not be on the message board. We do a bracket challenge before the playoffs start. You have to pick every game all the way through before the first game is even played. And I'll tell you right now, I have Graham in Salem for the state championship game.
Yeah, and I think that's a smart decision, man. We watched them against Richlands, and while Richlands has not been the Richlands of old for the last few years, any time that you can play against anybody the way that Graham did that night, I'm impressed with you. So hats off to those guys. Really looking forward to seeing how Cam Allen can prove to people outside of our county and people that they've played already that he's legit, because he is legit, man. I've never seen anybody move around like he can. And I wrote it in the Bristol Herald Courier, Ahmad Bradshaw gave Greg Mance nightmares for years. Well, Cam Allen's given him some nightmares, and he's going to give nightmares probably this weekend to Travis Turner.
Yeah, I would think so. That's going to be a heck of a ball game. Hey, I'm going to have to miss that one. I can just imagine a nice packed house down there at Bullet Park, and maybe some Bullet Magic, or maybe, you know, maybe Graham gets it done like we all seem to think. Well, just like last week, we need to make some picks as we always do. And man, Coach Dubel came on last week, and we thought he knocked it out of the park so much. We brought him back this week.
Guys, it is round two of the playoffs, and it's time for some picks. And we are lucky to be joined back by with Ryan and myself with the former coach of the Northwood Panthers, Chris Dubel. Coach, thanks for coming back with us for week two of these playoffs, man.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here talking to you guys again. Looking forward to chatting some football and getting some picks made. Another great week of playoff football.
Ryan, let's look at these records, man. You know, me and you kind of at the top of the pack last week with going 16-1, but that one loss for both of us coming in different games. And then our buddy over there, Dubel, goes 14-3.
That's not too bad. I know I picked Thomas Walker, which was a horrible decision on my part in hindsight. I did pick Pulaski, though, and I was the only one to pick that one. So you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, you absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't pick Gillespie. I picked Abingdon to lose, and then, but I didn't know. I don't know if you guys knew this. Holston game. Guerrero didn't play the whole first half, and I would have never made that upset pick if I'd have known he wasn't going to play in the first half. So I don't know what's going on over there. What was going on over there? But that's that was shocking to me.
Yeah, it was me too. And, you know, I fell in that Pulaski and George Washington game. And I'm glad that the Cougars won that one. I wouldn't have thought that going down to Danville. But nonetheless, the Cougars are advancing this week, and they got a pretty tough matchup. And we'll talk about that here in a couple games. But let's get to some picks, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right, let's start over in the wild and wonderful state of West Virginia in AA. Kaiser goes to Bluefield to take on the Beavers. Ryan, we'll start with you.
I said it last week. I'm going to say it's going to sound like a broken record. I will not pick against Bluefield for the rest of the season. Kaiser is absolutely no match for what Bluefield possesses on both sides of that football. It's a home game, so that's another double reason to pick Bluefield. Give me the Beavers. Very big running clock in the second half.
Yeah, guys, to be in Bluefield at home as well, pretty well unstoppable at this point. So.
Yeah, I'm going to make it a trio there, guys. I'm going to go with Bluefield as well. Those guys are going to keep rolling. Let's roll down the single A down there over in Mount View. Williamstown is going to come into Princeton to take on the boys from Welch. The Golden Knights squeak one out last week against Ritchie County. It's a game that we all got correct, but a little bit tough of a matchup this week.
Yeah, I've went back and forth all week on this one. I know last week how monumental of a win that was for that program, especially going forward, but I can't pick them again this week. I'm going to go with Ritchie County.
You mean Williamstown?
Williamstown.
I'm going to go with Mountain View again, just for the simple fact they're playing at home and they're the higher seed there. I'm gonna stick with them. So,
you know, I've went back and forth on this all week, just like Ryan has talked about. And you know, Williamstown is good. I actually have them penciled into my picks here, but I've been thinking about this, and I'm still undecided while I'm rambling right now. But Williamstown's got to make a 3-hour and 15-minute bus ride down to Princeton. Mount View was not very efficient last week. They had to score 3 touchdowns in the last quarter to win over Ritchie County. With all that being said, I think I'm going to keep my pick the way that it is. I don't think that a 3-hour and 15-minute bus ride will affect Williamstown. I think they'll roll in and end a historic season for Mountain View. I hate to pick against the Golden Knights, but I'm going with Williamstown to pull a big upset. Let's move into the state of Virginia Class 4 action. It's a rematch in River Ridge District competition. The Pulaski County Cougars travel to Blacksburg. This game will actually be played in Christiansburg at Evan Kings Field. Ryan, we've seen this game before in the regular season, and it was a close one.
Yeah, it's a close one, but just first, can I just say that it's a shame that Blacksburg, as good as they are, and you know, as new as that school is, that their field is unplayable anytime it rains. That's just, well, they got to fix that over there at Bill Brown. That thing does not drain at all. So it's sad that they're having to play these games at their rival Christiansburg. I know it's just right up the road, but in either case, same old song, same old dance. We just saw this game. It was closer the first time. But I just don't see a way that Pulaski gets this one done. Blacksburg could be on their way to another state championship, this time in Class 4. Give me the Bruins.
I'm going to go with Blacksburg. Just as a fact that their track record at state championship a couple of years ago, I think it's just sort of a dinner fact. So I'm going to go with Blacksburg.
I'm also going to go with Blacksburg. Those guys are pretty daggone good over there. Coach Sloss has inherited a wealth of talent that anybody would love to have, whether it's Tyquest Terry, Grant Johnson, Thomas Coffey, Brian Mitchell, the list goes on and on. I think the reason it was so close last time is it was played over at Dublin. This time it will be at a neutral site, but it is home field advantage for Blacksburg. Look for it to be a packed house at Christiansburg High School to see the Bruins roll into round 3. Let's move into Class 3. Abingdon will hit up North 81 to Daleville to take on the Lord Botetourt Cavaliers, who people in our coverage area know a lot about. Jamie Harless from Abingdon, he was a defensive coordinator at Cave Spring before taking the head coaching job at Lord Botetourt High School, and they put the only loss on the Bluefield Beavers this year.
Yeah, and that right there says all you need to know to me. They were the only team that could stand up to Bluefield, only allow Bluefield to run 20-something offensive plays in an entire game, which still to this day amazes me that feat was pulled off. With that said, if they can beat Bluefield, then they can absolutely beat Abingdon, and they will beat Abingdon. Great job to Coach Ambergy, you know, coming in literally 2 weeks before the season started, but give me Abingdon.
Okay. I'm going to go with Florida at this point. Coach Harless, the things they're doing up there, and like you said, the ability to be a beat, there's a dominant force. He's doing a good job with those kids, and they're going to continue rolling.
So I'm going to take Botetourt as well. They've played very good this season, and it's like both of my colleagues have hit on. If you can hold the Beavers to what you've been holding them, Abingdon, they've come on strong. They're playing their best football. I think this one could be close for a few quarters before Lord Botetourt ultimately pulls away. Moving into Class 2, we have the Gretna Hawks traveling to take on the Radford Bobcats for the second time this season. These two teams will meet up, Ryan.
Yeah, this game already happened once. Radford pulled out at what the time seemed to be like an upset. I think now we know that maybe that wasn't so much of an upset. But Radford with home field advantage, I'm going to take them over the Hawks. I'm going to stick with Prelude, and you know, until maybe next week might be a different story, but for this week I'm going to stick with Prelude and the Bobcats.
I'm going to go with Prelude and the Bobcats as well. They're rolling right now. He's quite an athlete, and I think he's a difference maker in this game, so I'll go with Radford.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Radford as well. I've been really impressed with what they've done so far this season, especially after not making the playoffs last year. They're the one seed over there in 2C. Look for them to roll on into the third round. Another big contest going down in Dickinson County on Saturday at 2 o'clock. The Richlands Blue Tornado will travel to take on the Ridgeview Wolfpack. It's been a highly anticipated matchup for the last 4 to 5 years, and it's finally getting to happen. Ryan, big matchup on Rose Ridge.
Yeah, it's a big matchup that I won't get to see, and I'm really upset about it. I'm not sure why we're playing this game on a Saturday, but I guess it is what it is. I've went back and forth on this one. Richland's defense has just been impressive the second half of the season, save the Graham game, and I think Graham's the best team in the area. But Richland's just can't score right now. So if they can fix that, if they can put some points on the board, and force Ridgeview, to start to panic a little bit, a team that, that's never been this far in the playoffs, then maybe Richland's has a chance. But I said before the season that Ridgeview was a really good team, and I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to take the Wolfpack.
Wow. Wow. That's all I got to say is wow. I can't believe that. Richland's defense really did very well last week, and so I took that into account in about this pick. Whether they'll be able to stop the Ridgeview rushing attack is sort of matchup. But we'll find out early if they will be able to. Not this one, like you said, because of Richland's lack of a but I think they'll step up. I'm going to take the Bindra factor and go with Richland's over Ridgeview.
Oh, we got the upset alert over there. We got Duple going with the boys from Richland's, and he's going to be the only one picking Richland's out of the two Richland's guys. I mean, they both have covered. I am rooting like heck for the Blues in these games. I really want to see Coach Mance get the win number 200. If he gets this one, it'll be 199. A lot of emotions flowing last week in Richland's when they got that 10-0 victory over Grayson. However, I think I'm going to stick with the Wolfpack. Maybe some shades of the old Sandlick Elementary field there with the Saturday game. Wish I could go. Going to be taking the LSAT Saturday morning and then going up to watch the Hokies try to claw their way into the win column. But I'm going to go with Ridgeview, and I'm probably going to catch a lot of flack because I tend to always catch a lot of flack when I pick against Richland's.
Yeah, I'm going to catch a lot of flack too.
So before we catch the flack, let's go ahead and move into another big game. Perhaps if we were still doing a game of the week, the game of the week. Graham will travel to Union for the second straight year in the second round to take on the Bears. G-Man, the Bears, always a good competition, Ryan.
Yeah, we've seen this song and dance a few times here over the past several years. It's always been the one where you always knew that Union was going to win this game. They had a mental edge over Graham. They had the athletes over Graham. So you always kind of knew this was going to be Union's year. But this year, I think it's Graham's year. We've both seen them with our own eyes. I've seen Union. I've seen Graham. Union has the Jenkins kid that's fast. But for the one Jenkins that Union has, Graham has four of those guys. So I just think the speed's going to play a difference. I know it's on grass, and I know the field won't be great. But at the end of the day, when you have a D1 player like Cam Allen on your team, that's all it takes is the one guy, as Union could attest with James Mitchell. I'm going to take Graham.
I'm going to go with Cameron Allen and Devin Lester and the G-Men as well. Great athletes. Like you said, the past, the Union's had the it factor with the better athletes. I think in this case, Graham has the better athletes over Union. But it should be a good game.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the G-Men as well. I don't think anybody in 2A is going to take down Graham and Cam Allen. That's the best athlete I've seen this year on a football field, and he's going to continue to exert his will further west in Virginia, and he's going to give those folks down in Wise County a taste of what we've all been talking about all year. So I'm going to give Graham the edge on this one. They got two great running backs in Booker and Reed. Allen's great. Devin Lester's great. Nick Kastner's great on defense. I'm going to go with the G-men. Let's move into Class 1, guys, where another rematch is going to unfold on Friday as George Wythe travels to Galax.
Yeah, in the past few years, you know, you would look at this matchup, you'd circle on your calendars, man, this is going to be the game of the week right here. Yeah, but we've seen it in the regular season, and we've seen that George Wythe this year maybe just isn't the George Wythe, you know, of old. Galax is on a mission to meet Joe Howie here in a couple weeks. Give me Galax relatively easy over the Maroons.
I'm going to go with Galax as well. Coach Harner in their shutout against Covington last week was rather impressive. Their defense normally does a pretty good job. However, Galax and their offense in the mind of Coach Dixon, I think, take the edge here. I'm going to go with Galax as well.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Galax to make threes a company here, guys, but I'm going to hit you both with this. You know, this game was a 21-14 contest in Galax back a month ago in the regular season, and George Wythe pretty much just gifted the game back to Galax there in the last quarter of play. I think this one's going to be tough. I am going to go with Galax, but I think this one could be a pretty tough contest. Let's go over to Perry McClure taking on Narrows there in Narrows. It was a one-point ball game 2 weeks ago. These are the two Pioneer District champions, and they're going to meet up, and Narrows has some revenge on their mind.
Yeah, they met up a couple weeks ago, but correct me if I'm wrong, but that game was at Perry McClure, correct?
It was indeed.
Right, so that's all that's going to matter to me. Green Wave are going to win at home. And they're going to advance that matchup next week against Galax. Give me the Green Wave in a close one over Perry McClure.
I agree with you, Ryan. I think home field advantage makes a difference, especially in a small town like Narrows where they've got so much community support. I think it'll be loud. I think it'll be a good game day atmosphere, and I think the Green Wave take it.
I'm also going to go with the Green Wave, guys. The home field advantage is what I've been thinking all week. Kelly Lowe's done a great job over at Narrows, and they shouldn't have lost to the Fighting Blues a couple weeks ago. And, you know, they didn't want to share that district title, but it's not going to matter because they're going to send them back up to Buena Vista with a bad Green Wave taste in the mouth. Grundy will play Chilhowee at Chilhowee on Friday night. These two teams, it seems like, it's been a crash course for them to meet. It's been kind of, I don't want to say hyped, but it's been a matchup that everybody wants to see, and we're going to get to see that on Friday.
Yeah, only one team this season has been able to run on Chilhowee with any sort of efficiency, and that was Patrick Henry. Grundy, as we know, has Pfizer, who is the man, the myth, the legend at this point. Chilhowee's going to march their way towards the state championship. And Pfizer's going to march his way towards a fourth straight state championship in wrestling. Chilhowee's going to win this game, I think, by about three touchdowns.
This is similar to the Bridgeview-Richland matchup. It's a good backfield, good rushing attack versus a stout defense. And once again, we'll see early how that's going to unfold. But I believe that If that matchup ends up even, I think Chilhowee's offense has grown to defense outmatched. So with that in mind, I'm going to take the Warriors.
I'm also going to take the Warriors, guys. Chilhowee is just so daggone impressive. They are deeper than most of the 2A schools in our area. So I'm going to go with Zach Kell, Greg Sanchez, and the guys to get a big win at home and send perhaps the best player in the area back to get into a singlet. Last one on the docket is the J.I. Burton Raiders traveling to Emory and Henry College to take on the Patrick Henry Rebels. P.H. and J.I. Burton both been pretty good. Another showdown for P.H. at Emory, Ryan.
To me, this is the game of the week right here. You have one team in Patrick Henry that will run the ball, and that's what they're going to do, and they're going to do it effectively with their two-headed monster back there running back. And on the other side, you have a J.I. Burton team that has Houston Thacker as its quarterback, who's a gunslinger and probably the best quarterback, pure quarterback in this area. So it's a very interesting dynamic in the two different styles of offense. At the end of the day, though, I'm from Richlands, and I like to watch the football be put in the air. And because of that alone, I'm going to pick J.I. Burton to win this game on a turf field that will be pristine. And Thacker's going to have four touchdowns.
Yeah, you mentioned the turf field, but I was able to watch Zach Brown and company on that turf field last week, and their speed was enhanced. Zach was gliding on that field with his four touchdowns, two on offense, one on defense, just flying around. Cody Smith as well looked really good. J.I. Burton was able to get Patrick Henry in this matchup last year. I was disappointed that the Rebels and the Warriors didn't get their region final rematch, but I think that's what we'll get this year. I'm going to go with the Rebels and Coach Palmer.
Yeah, I'm also going to stick there with you, Chris. I'm going to go with Patrick Henry there at Emory. I think that speed kills. The Rebels have plenty of that, and I think that the turf will only enhance the Patrick Henry Rebels' chances for a victory. So, guys, that's going to do it for week two and 11 games for us this week, and it's been a lot of fun picking last week. It's been fun picking this week, and I hope you guys get out and watch some football for me, who is going to not be watching any high school this week and putting my nose in a book and grinding it out on Saturday morning.
Good luck to you.
Hey, I appreciate that, man. And Ryan, I definitely hate that we're not going to, either one of us are going to get to see the matchup over on Rose Ridge. It's been well anticipated.
I've been waiting for this matchup for 4 years, and it finally gets here. And it's the one time that I promised my 4-year-old that we would take him to Carowinds, and he's known that for months now. And sometimes, yeah, a great friend of ours, Brady, Blue Razor, on the message board, once told me some sage advice that sometimes family comes first. And so I'm gonna stick with his advice, and we're going to go to Carowinds. But I'll be listening to Ron Brown on the call, and I'm hoping that my pick is wrong.
Hey, love Blue Razor. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, you can't disappoint a 4-year-old if you told him you're going to take him to Carowinds. I agree with that. That's the better pick. I'm gonna be at Emory again, watching J.I. Burton and Patrick Henry. Hopefully it'll be a good game.
I hope so, and it sounds like it's going to be worth the price of admission over there, my man. Guys, always a pleasure to get to make these picks with both of you, and we'll dial it up again next week when we're at least promised five more games.
All right, so there you had our picks. So maybe some upset picks in there, some picks you might not have thought of. I laughed a little bit at Coach Dubel, his reaction to you and I not picking Richlands.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, and he did go with Richlands, so maybe he knows something that we don't. That's why he was a football coach, I believe. But it's always fun to get on there with Chris and get on there with you, and he's been very supportive of our project here with Coalfield Sports and the Southwest Virginia Sports Podcast. But nonetheless, it's been a really fun thing to do, and looking forward to get him back on here next week.
Well, we know we'll have at least five. We may have a few more than that, I would assume. I don't think Bluefield's going to lose. That would add one, obviously. So, yeah, we should have at least five games to talk about next week with Chris, and looking forward to that. Why don't you go ahead and do your shout-outs for the week, Brady?
Let's give a shout-out to the Buchanan County sportsman, the myth, the legend, Michael Dodson. Appreciate you, brother, and what you've done for us, and really appreciate the hard work that you're doing to just share historic information with the people there in Buchanan County. I really enjoy looking at the pictures, and anytime I see an update from Buchanan County Sports, I get pretty excited. So thank you for doing that. I love looking at it. I know everybody else does looking at it, and appreciate you for supporting our cause and trying to get our traffic up for how much we tried to do for Buchanan County when all the teams were playing. Maybe Grundy will pull off the biggest upset of the year this weekend. I don't have much faith in that, but if they do, I would imagine that our train will be going pretty hard into Buchanan County the next few weeks. Nonetheless, let's get over to our other shout-out to Frank Browning, Madman in the Morning every Thursday morning, 97.7 FM WRIC in Richlands and in Tazewell County over into West Virginia as well. That's where you can pick that up. And it's also on Facebook at Madman in the Morning. Frank, this is his landing pattern for Madman Turns Santa, where he goes out into the community and gives unfortunate children the Christmas they deserve. And it's really awesome. It really is. He gave 18 children and families Christmas last year. He's trying to do 40 this year. He can't do it without your help. If you have an idea or a suggestion, please send him a letter. The address is on the website, our website, coalfieldsports.com. And also there is a address to send donations to if you think so, that you are feeling compelled to do this. We have a couple articles every week. It's explaining what Frank wants to do. If you have any questions, please contact myself, Ryan, or Eugene. We can put you in contact with Frank. And it's a really good cause, and really appreciate what Frank's doing. Man of the Year worthy, hometown hero worthy on WVVA. Maybe he will get a Nobel Peace Prize for this effort, because I think he should. This is really awesome, and you're not going to find many better people than Frank Browning. Also want to give a shout-out to everybody who reached out, not only to me, but to the family of Devin Johnson last week. That was a tragedy, and it's still kind of hard to believe. But we laid Devin to rest on Sunday, and not many more people have impacted my life the way that Devin did. And it was a tough day on Sunday, and we will always have his memory to go on. And Devin Johnson was a heck of a person, and while we remember him as a great football player, we also need to remember that he was an even better human being. So I'm going to speak on behalf of the family. I know I probably shouldn't do that, but I know that everybody's thoughts and prayers meant the world to those guys.
Just one more thing before we go here. I just want to give an update. I know we did the picks, and we hit on some of the games that got moved, but there's been a couple that have moved today as well. So if you're listening to these right now, here are the games that we know from our coverage area that are moved right now. Abingdon at Lord Botetourt is now at William Byrd on Saturday at 7 p.m. Gretna and Radford is at Christiansburg on Saturday at 1 p.m. Perry McClure and Narrows has been postponed to Saturday at 2 p.m. That's still going to be at Narrows. Burton and Patrick Henry was moved to Emory and Henry Saturday at 1. Pulaski and Blacksburg moved to Christiansburg Friday at 7. So all five of those games are in different venues, or in the Narrows case, that game got postponed today and pushed back a day. So just to kind of give you guys a heads up, if you're wanting to go watch some football, you've got a whole slew of Saturday games this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just kind of want to give a preface, and maybe this will be edited out. Hopefully it is edited out. There was supposed to be a Coach's Corner interview with George Wythe head coach Brandon Harner, but our lead engineer's computer got stepped on between the time that he emailed me the Graham interview and the George Wythe interview. So I guess that's the joy of having kids. But we sincerely apologize about that, and I'm going to touch base with Coach Harner. And, you know, I'd love to get him back on here. And if that can be retrieved before they play tomorrow, we'll post that as a separate podcast. It's just all a technicality at this point. But like I said, if you're hearing this, that means I've got bad news and Ryan's got bad news. If you never hear this, that means great news. So just wanted to preface that for everybody.
All right, well, that will do it for us this week. Man, Brady, we're inching closer to a couple some state championship games here. As always, for Brady Hess, my name is Ryan Dye. Do it, Brady.
See ya!
She took my name, Mama swore she never saw her. Cause she was born a thief, she stole. Her daddy was a devil and he tried to leave his mark. Her mama said, boy, run as fast as you can. Cause she was born a thief, now she's making me a wanted man.